Why are we doing another conference? I mean, aren't there conferences all across this country that you can pick your particular focus? You know, you've got a conference on apologetics, you've got conferences on politics, you've got conferences on prayer and spirituality, you've even got conferences that teach you how to write books. But why are we doing the Culture Proof Conference?
Because it's different. I think it's different.
Yeah.
This is something that you can bring the whole family to. So that's one thing. There's some conferences you can't bring the whole family. Let's just be real. And there's something for each member of the family, whether they're a child or an adult, whether you are single, whether you are, you know, a young adult, whatever you are. And so I say that the Culture Proof Conference, which is happening July 18th through the 20th in Bartlett, Tennessee, is different.
Yeah, it is. I would say that the Culture Proof Conference is one of the most balanced types of conferences that not only do we attend with our family, but that we've hosted. Our intent is to equip you so that you can think biblically, but also inform you and encourage you to be discerning in the time that we live in. So that means that we welcome the move of the Holy Spirit to help bring wisdom to we're talking about. It's not just being pumped with knowledge, but it's applying that knowledge in practical everyday ways. And so we hope that you will join us for Culture Proof 2024. It's happening in Bartlett, Tennessee at Faith Baptist Church, July 18th through the 20th. And we're really excited about it. We hope that you'll check out the conference. Go to cultureproof.net.
Yes, cultureproof.net. And I just want to say, we live in a strange place. And one of the things about the conference that I really love is that you get to meet other families that are like-minded. And it never ceases to amaze me how you hear the testimony of, like, man, I thought I was by myself.
Yes.
You know, but meeting people at this conference, I was like, man, we're thinking the same way about these issues. And so it's just an encouragement, a networking time, a time of meeting other families and being encouraged in the Lord. So the Culture Proof Conference happening July 18th through the 20th, Bartlett, Tennessee at Faith Baptist Church. Go to cultureproof.net for more details.
Thanks for checking out Culture Proof. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And today we are talking about Don Staley and the Hezekiah attitude. it's interesting. So I don't follow sports and I don't follow college sports. I don't follow women's basketball. But you sent me an email over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any context for it, but the email basically said, start at the 20 minute mark. It's sort of like, you know, I don't know, like an unmarked bag or something, you know what I mean? And so of course I click on the link and then I start watching and I didn't immediately go to the 20 minute mark. You know, I was kind of like, well, what am I watching? And I see this press conference with this woman sitting. This is how much I don't know about sports. Okay. With this woman sitting behind a microphone, I think they introduce her. She sits down and she starts talking. And I'm immediately like, what? I don't understand, you know? So I click off the video and then I go back to the email and I realize that I either forgot or overlooked the 20 minute mark instructions, right? So then I go back to the video and then I scrub over to the 20 minute mark and then I hear comments from the head coach of South Carolina women's basketball team.
Yeah.
And I go, oh my goodness, this is painful. This is excruciating. But then it all made sense why you sent me the video.
Yeah, I was sending it for a reason.
Of course, and you always do, but usually I can figure it out quickly. Like you send a video and I go, oh my goodness.
Yeah, okay, if you missed the little details about the 20 minute mark, it would seem like, okay, this is random.
I was like, and you know I don't follow sports.
Right, right. So I'm trying to help you out. I'm giving you an assist.
No, you know, thanks. thanks for the sports reference.
Yeah.
No, it was great because I didn't realize, you know, we were in what's called March Madness. Yes. Right. And I don't follow that. And that's okay. You know, we all have our things that grab our attention.
Right.
But it seems like the South Carolina women's basketball team is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And they went to the finals.
Yes.
And then yesterday won their game. So they are the champions.
Right. They are the champions. Okay. They beat the Iowa Hawkeyes, I believe it is. The Hawkeyes. And yes, they are the champions. And, you know, Coach Dawn Staley is a legendary coach for South Carolina. She really brought that program to where it is today.
Okay.
That they are always in the top, of the division and the league and stuff like that. So she's a great coach. She was a great player. You know, she played for the University of Virginia.
Okay.
And was a great point guard. And they went to the Final Four, I believe, multiple times, but she never won a championship as a player. She went on to play professionally. So she played for the United States, USA teams.
Yeah,
and stuff
I saw
that.
Her playing for the Olympic team.
Yeah,
and because I was trying to get familiar with her in preparation for this podcast, because I thought, you know, I really don't know a whole lot about sports at all. I don't know who this woman is, where she came from, where she's going.
And I'll tell you, fairly recently for me, you know, have I even thought about the women's basketball, and it's because of coaches like her and players, like Angel Reese for LSU. You know, there's different players. Caitlin Clark, who is the leading scorer of, basketball, college basketball, men and women. Like so that's recent. And so it has a lot of attention brought to it now. But I think also because of the debate about, if transgenders should play.
Yeah.
You know, and I think women's sport, and I'll just say this, women's sports have been, I would say, known for having some pretty tough women, and some of them, a lot of them being lesbian, and it's like, man, that's because even when you go to the WNBA, that's a big feature there. Like there's a lot, so I think this conversation is just only going to pick up as you talk about that and then talk about transgender. It's just it's a thing. And so, they're going to have these questions more and more, I believe.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think that's a great way for us to segue into this episode's content, because, the question of whether or not men should compete against women. Notice I'm not saying biological men against biological women, because they're only male and female.
Right.
Like those are the only two. And so this question about whether or not men should compete against women.
It's a crazy thought. Even.
Is the question that got Coach Staley. And this is the reason that you sent me the video.
Yeah.
And I was stunned. Again, having no point of reference for her, for her career or anything. I learned that after the fact. And I didn't know her, and I hadn't heard her in any other interview. So, I mean, if you want to talk about a person who, man, just total blank slate, that would have been me. But even with that reality, I didn't believe what she was saying in the press conference.
Right.
Like, I thought, oh, this woman appears to be lying. Like she doesn't believe what she's saying. And so what we want to do is we want to play a clip from this interview. And this interview was on Saturday, just ahead of the final game, right? Mm-hmm. Which they went on to win on Sunday.
Yes.
Okay. And so as I'm watching it again, when I was intelligent enough to scroll over to the 20-minute mark, it made sense. But I think we should share with our audience and then, just kind of talk about how we get to a place where a person who competed in a sport or played in a sport where the composition of her competition, whoa, I didn't plan that, but I'll
Jesse
take
Jackson.
It. The composition of her competition would have never come into question.
Right.
And let's just kind of hear what she had to say about whether or not so-called transgender women, which we're talking about men, whether or not men should be able to compete against women in sports. Here we go.
Dan Zakrzewski, Outkick. Coach, you just talked about, what a massive weekend this is, obviously, for women's basketball, women's sports in general. One of the major issues facing women's sports right now is the debate, discussion topic about the inclusion of transgender athletes, biological males, in women's sports. I was wondering if you would tell me your position on that issue.
Um, You got deep on me, didn't you? I'm under the opinion
this is painful.
Of if you're a woman, you should play. Mm. If you consider yourself a woman or and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. That's my opinion. You want me to go deeper?
Do you think transgender women should be able to participate
that's your question you want basketball. Me to ask. I mean, you want to ask, so I'll give you that. Yes. Yes. So now the barnstorm of people are going to flood my timeline and be a distraction to me on one of the biggest days of our game. And I'm okay with that.
No, she's not. No, if she were really okay with that, it would not have taken as long as it did for her to give an answer.
Right.
And
right.
If that were really her answer, and you can watch the footage or you can just discern by what you hear. I mean, she pauses. Mm-hmm. She's got to get another sip of water, whatever it is in the cup, in the Gatorade cup.
Fumbling over words.
She is trying to think on the spot.
On the spot.
About a response that is not her own. Mm. When your responses to questions are your own, you don't have to construct them in that moment. Now, you may be thoughtful about how you want to communicate. You may want to be measured. You don't want to come out with a heavy hand. You want to be fair to people. All right. of that I understand. And I would say, okay, I can understand that. And by the way, we're going to show an example of that, right? Because we have an example just from last year that you actually brought out. Here's a way to be measured, to think through what you're saying, and also to be diplomatic, right? So there's a way to do it. None of those things were reflected in Coach Staley's response. I don't believe, now this is what I'm saying, okay? Yeah. I don't believe that she believes what she said.
Yeah, it didn't sound like she believed what she said. You know, she, like you said, had to kind of formulate an answer right then and there on the spot. Mm-hmm. And you can hear it. You can hear her working through her answer as she was speaking. And so I don't believe that either. Just her having been an athlete and played, you know, for years. Mm-hmm. And I know she knows that, man, men shouldn't be playing against women. She knows this. She knows that men are bigger and stronger and faster and all of that. And but she has to give an answer that's going to appease the culture.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to appease the ones who are woke and things like that, because that's where she is, you know. And so she gave that answer, not because she truly believed it, but that's what she felt like she needed to say.
I feel like this is one of those glaring moments that reveals what I think a lot of people are doing in our culture today. Mm. You know, there are people who will say, you know, we want to affirm the fact that you made a brave decision or that you had such a strong, you know, brave response. And really, it's just a bunch of people saying what everyone is collectively saying.
Right.
So it's not bravery, really. Right. And I think that, Coach Staley actually kind of weighed her options in this moment. Mm. And I think the question was, who am I going to make mad?
yeah.
That was what she weighed that. Like, okay, who is safer to upset, right? And I think based on everything that we have seen in our culture, based on how mean-spirited and how much of a bully the LGBTQ group is, I think Coach Staley chose those who would not necessarily be in that category. Although there are quite a few who are in that category who still say that men should not compete against women in sports. It's unfair. One of them being Bruce Jenner, who now refers to himself as Caitlyn, saying the same thing and very loudly opposing men competing against women. I think she just kind of like had to choose who she wanted to upset.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And she chose what she felt was more beneficial for her. And she knew there was going to be some backlash. She knew that Will and Miki was going to talk about this.
Oh, stop. Go on. Oh, go on.
But she just chose what she felt, you know, and you know, she may be more aligned with that. So she knows.
Well, she's definitely woke. So, after you sent me this video,
exactly.
I started watching other videos, and it seems like a lot of her conversation revolves around hyper-cultural awareness,
yes.
Just hyper, you know, gender ideology, you know, what women have been denied, certainly women of color. And so she does seem to me, and the things that I saw, to be very woke. Now, here's what people consistently deny about the woke agenda, at least as far as it pertains to Christians.
Mm-hmm.
What people consistently deny is that to adopt woke ideology is to take all of it. They themselves, those who shaped, those who were the architects of critical race theory or critical theory, have said themselves that you cannot parse out pieces that you like and make it fit your preferred ideology. It is an ideology unto itself. So I think, I mean, there's a huge part of me that thinks when Coach Staley takes this position, you know, she's thinking through, man, you know, like, okay, first of all, who am I going to upset by saying this? And I think that's indicated in her, you know, remarking that, okay, now the barnstorm of comments that are going to run up her timeline. So I think she's calculating that. But I think she also has to calculate her position on other issues.
Mm.
Like if you have some sort of woke positioning in any other issue, then this is all a part of the woke kind of like meal. You know what I mean? It's not a buffet. It is, this is what we serve. This is what is being dished up. And if you accept any of it, then you've got to eat everything that's on the plate. And so I think this is what Coach Staley was battling in that moment. And I think it's sad. I think it's really tragic. Like, you know, not only was it uncomfortable to watch her stumble all over that, to be pressed without relent. You know, here is this, you know, person asking her a question and it's like, okay, you want me to go deeper? Because she tried to get out of it by saying, I think, you know, if you see yourself as a woman, you should play. I think she kind of thought maybe people will take that each side will hear what each side wants to hear.
Mm.
And so she knew that that was not sufficient.
Yeah.
Right. And so she knew that there was going to be a need to drill down. but I think there's something else here that I think is very troubling about what she did. I think that it is unfair for her to take a position on this issue. And I'm only using their terms here, right? Because so often when you hear from like the wokies, it is, you've got to have this as a lived experience to be able to speak to it. You've got to have a certain amount of points to be able to comment on this. You don't know, that's not your experience. And I really think that Coach Staley should have taken the position of, you know, I'm not currently playing basketball. I'm coaching basketball, and I think the women who are playing right now should make this decision. They should decide if they want to compete against men in their sport. I'm happy to coach whoever wants to play, but I think those who are playing should make that decision. I mean, wouldn't that have been like a response that like, you know, although I will say this, you know, now that's me trying to be diplomatic.
Diplomatic,
right?
Yes.
Because I'm prone to just tell you straight up,
men should not be playing against.
But I'm just trying to think of like the arena that she's in and the pressure she might have felt. I was talking to a sister the other day who is considering bringing her daughter home to homeschool. And she was talking about making that transition and, you know, just trying to figure out what would be the best options for their family. And of course, she approached me. We talk a lot about our favorite curriculum and how much we love it. And so she was curious. And I recommended that she register for the BJU Press Homeschool National Online Party happening April 15th through the 19th, because I thought it would be instructive for her. I thought it might answer several of her questions. There'll be speakers. Ken Ham will be speaking as a part of this online party. And of course, the homeschool consultants from all across the country will be answering questions. There's so many questions when you start to make transitions away from the things you've always done into the things that you would like to do. And so I want to encourage even you listening Maybe this is a decision that you've been praying about and you want to get some answers to some questions you've had for a while. Why don't you check out our friends at BJU Press Homeschool? You can go to homeschoolhelp.com/party. That's homeschoolhelp.com/party and register for this online party. There are free giveaways and prizes, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun and super informative for people who are praying about the ways that they are going to disciple and educate their kids. Check it out. You have until April 15th to register, but I don't think you're going to want to miss this. homeschoolhelp.com/party.
Yeah, no, I get you on that. You know, and again, we talked about this in the past about certain questions being the question of the day. Like, this is the one that's going to stump you, you know. And this transgender question, man, now is the question of the day. You know,
that's so true.
And it's like, you can see right here, it's like, man, I don't know. And even, you know, we talked about the other response, and that would be from Kim Mulkey.
Okay,
I mean, she gave a diplomatic response. But there's no responses that I've heard that's like, no, what definitely
Will
not.
Like, that's not what Will,
man,
would say. Yeah,
that's ridiculous. You know, mm-hmm. But I think women are going to have to speak out more and more, yeah, about this.
Yeah,
that's what was it Riley Gaines.
Yeah, yeah, she would be an example
swimming
of this. Absolutely.
There need to be more of them speaking out and saying, no, yeah, this is ridiculous. Oh, we can't do this.
Yeah.
We can't play and compete against men. Yeah. That's not fair.
Yeah,
and until they step up and say that, mm-hmm, you know, like, some of these players need to say that, like, mm-hmm, okay, I respect Coach Staley, but she's wrong. I don't want to compete against men. I think that's unfair. Like, some of the players are going to have to step up and say that kind of thing.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And it's not going to be until you've got enough women who are able and willing to call out the fact that women's sports is being erased.
Yeah.
That it's going away. If you, yeah, have a sport where men are freely able to compete against you and to rob you of medals and accolades, achievements and scholarships even, then you have effectively erased women's sports. I think this is an issue that Christians have to care about because it's an Imago Dei issue. Mm. But then I also think that there is a temporal issue here of faithful stewardship of gifts. You know, yeah, so if you've got these female athletes in whatever their particular sport is, they've been entrusted with these incredible gifts, and we now live in a society where we say they can't exercise those gifts. They're not going to be able to soar or excel in those gifts because now they are competing against men. By the way, men against whom they do not stand a chance.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it would be just crazy of them to think, to even, you know, entertain this notion. Like, man, that would be crazy. And yeah, you would see how that would be a lot of injuries.
Yeah. Oh,
you
my
know,
gosh.
That would be a lot, yeah, of injuries. That things. And I think women understand that.
Yeah.
And it's not a, you know, a sexist thing or anything,
right,
like that, but it's just reality.
Yeah.
You know, men and women are different.
Yes.
And so if you want to erase women's sports, mm-hmm, well, let men play,
yeah,
in women's sports and you'll have that. But I don't think that's what they want.
Yeah. I mean, we used to live in a time where the types of injuries that women would sustain as a result of playing against men, we would have called that abuse. Mm-hmm. You know, we would have said, oh man, come on, like, you don't hit, you know. But today we say, no, it's okay for men who identify as women to, you know, to literally beat up other women. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, cracking their skulls. Like, we say that's okay because we cannot say that the emperor isn't wearing any clothes. Mm-hmm. If we stand up and say that, then we are the mean ones. So think about that. The mean ones, okay, are the ones who stand up and say, hey, we should not celebrate a man mercilessly beating a woman, like, physically. I'm moving away from basketball here, but, you know, we can't say that. We have to celebrate it. We have to just keep clapping because you don't want to be the first one who stops clapping, right? You have to just keep applauding it because it all looks good and it's supposed to sound good. You mentioned a year ago, this same question being raised, mm-hmm, or being asked of the champions, NCAA, mm-hmm, women's basketball, yes, champions last year.
Yeah,
and okay.
Yeah.
And who, what's her name?
Kim Mulkey. And she is pretty new to LSU. She spent 21 years at Baylor.
Okay.
From, I think, 2000 to 2021 as the coach of Baylor. She played her basketball at Louisiana Tech.
She was
She was a point guard there, a good player, you know, fiery, and that's how she is as a coach. Okay. But she was asked this question as well.
All right, and we have a clip of that, and so we'll play it and then come out and just kind of have a little conversation around that.
Congratulations about everything.
Thank you.
Just curious, you just referenced a little while ago about being in the dugout, being kicked out of the dugout. So you've experienced in your career being kicked out, being left out. My question, now there's this tug of war with transgender athletes. Has you being kept out informed how you feel about this new tug of war about transgender athletes? Do you see this kind of being worked out in the next 5, 10, 15 years?
I hope I answer this in a very sensitive way because I think we all know transgenders. I think we all know people who may not be like we are. I had a conversation with Debbie Antonelli. She has a special needs child. And we found the Special Olympics for them, didn't we? We found a place for them to compete. And I think that with time, maybe you will see a league or something for transgender athletes. I just think that I'm sensitive to those on one side, and yet I'm also sensitive to those on the other side. Does that make sense? Is that a good politically correct answer so I don't get in trouble? I'm sorry, what was it? You're going to find this extremely interesting. When this topic became apparent, when I was at Baylor, I had that conversation with the athletic director. And I'll leave it at that. So I was kind of ahead of the curve. I had a conversation. What if? I never got an answer. And I'll leave it at that. But I was very much aware. But I also want you to know that I have conversations with transgender people who don't believe that they should be competing against biological females. And I find that real interesting. So you ask questions. You're human. You want to hear sides of stories and come up with what you think. But at the end of the day, nobody cares what I think. Nobody cares. But thanks for asking that.
I care. I care. I think that that is also a revelation of the fear factor.
Yeah.
You know, is that a good enough response that I don't get in trouble?
And I think the reporter, you couldn't really hear him, but I think with the question he asked when she came back and said
at the Baylor, follow-up.
I think he asked her, if I'm not mistaken, what about recruiting? Would you recruit a transgender?
Okay,
you know,
wow.
And she said that they had those conversations at Baylor, and she was there like 21 years. Like, what if? Like, what if, you know? And speaking of Baylor, Brittany Griner, you know?
Yeah.
So she has had to, like, I think, navigate certain things.
Who is not transgender.
No, she's a lesbian. But I think that's the next level. Like, not you have that, and now is the transgender.
And what would make them different from a lesbian player,
so
I guess.
She's saying that it was posed to her, like, so what if, you know, a transgender recruit, would you recruit, you know? And she went to the people and said, okay, so what
are we going to do if this happens?
And she didn't get an answer, she said.
Wow.
So I think you're going to see more of this. Like, as this culture, you know, spins out of control, you know, it's going to affect these things, the sports and all kind of other things.
Yeah.
You know?
What's interesting to me is that both of these women, now this is just according to my perception, okay? I think both of these women appear to believe that women should compete against women and men should compete against men.
Yeah.
They both appear to me to have that position. They both give an answer. Well, no, this is where you have to break, right? Because it seems to me that they both have the same conviction, but one gives a calculated response that I don't think reflects what she actually thinks. The other gives a calculated response that I believe is telling you what she thinks. No, that the flat out answer, it's the will answer is no, right? But I think what she does is she tries to be considerate of those who would hear her comments and then try to dissect it and do all of these, you know, gymnastics with what she said, twisting her words, making her feel something about someone that she doesn't feel about them, and all the things that our culture does. But what the LSU coach does that I think is absolutely brilliant is she kind of invites a conversation that I think we've already been having in culture. If you want to allow people who are confused about their gender play in sports, then you should create a special league that allows them to compete against one another. I think that is what should happen.
And see, that's the whole thing too, because a lot of those people who would be in that category don't want a special league. You need to accept us.
Right.
I'm a woman, you know? And so that's where it's going to come into. Yeah. It's going to be like this thing, because special league, no. And, you know, I don't think many people will watch that special league. I don't know. Maybe they would just out of curiosity. But I think that acceptance is what is desired, you know, acceptance. And we see that across the board, not just transgenders, but, you know, homosexuals.
Yeah.
Like it's the accept, you need to accept me for how I am. This is how I was made, that type of thing.
And celebrate me and
celebrate
pretend
me.
That you see what I see about me.
Like,
you know,
I want you to lie with me. Like, tell a lie too. You need to tell it.
The Rocky Mountain Homeschool Conference happening in Denver, Colorado is June 13th through the 15th, and the Addisons are going to be there. We would love to connect with you.
Yes, we would love to. We're going to be ready, because I hear that the air is thin out there, so we got to be ready.
So how are you preparing for that?
Are you doing breathing exercises?
Yeah, breathing exercises.
Yeah, breathing exercises. You know, I'm getting my cardio on down here so
I can
be ready.
Well, so am I.
I heard it's like mountainous. I don't know if they're going to be in the Rocky Mountains.
Okay, here's my question. Here's my question. If you drive, don't you allow yourself to gradually adjust to the altitude rather than, like, you know, getting off a plane and then just boom and now you're dead?
I mean,
I'm sorry, that was an exaggeration.
That would make sense, I think, but I don't know how it works. I'm just telling you, we need to be prepared. Nebulizer, you know, pump, like we got some kids that
we
know.
Will be there. You guys, listen, please come and we would love to shake your hand.
Yes.
You will recognize us not only because we're podcasting, but because we'll be the family with the matching oxygen tanks. Just they'll be color coordinated. Hey. Like, get even little Timmy will have his own oxygen tank. It'll be okay. We'll be fine.
You can
learn more about the Rocky Mountain Homeschool Conference by going to cultureproof.net. Click on engage and you'll see a list of events letting you know exactly where we're going to be.
That's right.
Cultureproof.net.
No.
You know, it's interesting though. This LSU coach, I feel like, does a solid enough job. Now, again, it's not the will answer, right? But I feel like she does a solid enough job of communicating that there is a need to preserve women's sports.
Yeah.
Like, there's a need to preserve the category of women's sports. And just as there was a need to introduce the category, right? That there was a need to introduce the category. And so I think her position also draws from what her own experiences have been, you know, and how important it is to be able to have a place where you can compete and it's understood that we're all women.
Mm-hmm.
We are all women and we're competing against one another. Now, I think the South Carolina coach drops the ball on that and almost takes like a, now she's not saying this. And again, I don't want to unnecessarily burden her answer. I think her answer was burdensome enough.
Right.
But as I was listening to it, you know, I thought it's almost like a, like that Hezekiah response that you often refer to when we talk about, you know, what we don't maintain or preserve in this generation, you know, and thinking even for older, you know, believers that, well, I've already raised my kids, you know,
kids,
I don't have to worry about what's going on in the culture today. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about that. It's like that Hezekiah response that, you know, the Lord pronounces judgment. And this is in 2 Kings chapter 20, where the Lord pronounces judgment because of the pride and arrogance of Hezekiah, Babylon not being a threat. And so he shows them all their defenses, you know.
Right.
And the Lord says, you know, okay, there's going to be peace in your day, but in for your generations to come after you, there's going to be trouble.
Yeah.
And Hezekiah is like, okay, well, what you said is good because, I mean, there's going to be peace in my day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to have to worry about that.
Oh,
and so I think of the South Carolina coach, Coach Staley, and I think, you know, when you played in the 90s, the late 90s, you were able to enjoy the automatic expectation that you were just going to compete against women. Mm-hmm. You didn't even have to think about that. Like, you didn't have to worry that all of your hard work, all of your training after school, all of your, you know, training before school, mm-hmm. that would one day be compromised by somebody who just walks onto a team and is actually a man and is actually going to cream you. You didn't have to worry yeah. about that. But here you now sit in a place having enjoyed the luxury that mm-hmm. at the time, you didn't even think of it as a luxury because it's automatic. You don't even know to appreciate that because you're like, women are women mm-hmm. and men are men. And so you yeah. don't even know that, you know. But here you are now sitting at a different place at the table mm-hmm. and with, oh, I hate to borrow from the wokeness, but with your power, you know what I mean? Come on, right? With your power, choosing to take a step back from all the women who could be affected by your opinion, mm. all of the women who are now going to have to compete against men, because if more women like you, Coach Staley, keep saying things like, you know, if you, whatever you feel like, you should be able to compete. And I want to say this carefully, but if more women like you keep saying things like that from a self-preservation position, then I think younger women are going to suffer. Yeah. And I think that's so unfair because you didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, it's really not looking out for the interest of these young women.
Yeah.
You know, and looking at, you know, when Dawn Staley played college basketball, mm. it was 88 to 92. You
oh,
definitely
wow.
didn't have,
wow.
you know. Now, she did play, you know, professionally in the 90s
okay.
And stuff like that. But
wow.
I'm thinking like, man.
Oh, man.
You know,
yeah.
like this was, she helped to shape the game that they're playing right mm. now. She was a great player. And,
wow.
And, but you're not helping these young women, you know, in what they're doing now by making these type of statements, because you're basically erasing them if
oh,
this continues on.
Man.
And if there's a rule set that, hey, they can come in, men can play. Oh, man. You guys are not going to win another championship.
Mm-mm.
Like this, you know, it's crazy to have the thought that you can even compete on that level
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not, you can't do it. You'll see the same thing you saw in swimming.
Yeah.
You know, where this guy was terrible with the men,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so, oh, I'm swimming with the women and he's breaking records.
My
and,
goodness.
I mean, come on.
It's
you
really
know?
Sad. You know, it's really sad. And I don't know if, you know, when you're in that position, you have an option of thinking from two perspectives, I think. Mm. You can think from the perspective of the coach who would have the transgender identified individual on your team, or you can mm. think from the perspective of the coach competing against the team who has the transgender individual on mm. her team. And I think it might provoke two different responses, right? Like if you only think about it from your perspective, like, oh yeah, I mean, and think about what you're saying could be on the team that you coach, then it doesn't make any difference. You know, we're going to play with them. But that's not the question. The question is playing against them.
Right.
Playing against them. So, yeah, it's going to benefit the team that invites the men to compete against the women, right? Like if you are like, hey, we're transgender friendly, we'll recruit you here. We believe that men should be able to, however you identify, come and play. That's going to benefit your team, right? Mm. But it is not going to benefit everybody else unless everybody says, well, you know what? If we can't beat them,
and
literally.
There goes women's sports.
And then it's over.
I mean, that's
and
it,
then
that's
it is over.
Yeah.
And then it's crazy, though. It's crazy because if women's sports, right, gets erased, there's no other category.
Mm.
You know, like women can't leave that exclusion, okay? And go somewhere else and create another league, like because there's only male and female,
yeah.
you see? So what happens after that? Like, you know, once women are told that they are not welcomed in the space that was carved out for them, where do they go? There's not a third option for them. When essentially what has been created by the trans-identified player is a third option. So I say that there's your league. There is your league. Because for the men and for the women, that's the binary. Like that is the standard. There's no other place to go. What is it going to be? And playing for the real women team.
Right.
Like, right. What is that? Playing for the real women, the biological women only team. B-W-O-T. Okay. The biological women only team. Like, I mean, it just gets ridiculous when if we agree with God, then it's easier for us.
Right.
It's easier for us.
It's simpler.
Like, just agree with God. Yeah. God, you're right. You are wise. You're infinitely wise. And we agree with you. So male and female. And the rest the Lord will set in order. Those who remain confused, he's going to take care of that. His grace is totally, totally sufficient.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When you resist those cultural trends that rival the truth, you remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing.
God bless.